Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
But with all that we've been through, after all this time I'm coming, I'll reach towards the sky.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be severely impressed if any of this works because I have flipped and flopped so many screens around and mics and cords and all kind of stuff. So if y'all can hear me and see me, I'm just going to be impressed at this point. And if you didn't hear that, which, you know, the way I've got the mic set up, you probably didn't. It's really bad out there right now. Like, I mean, we've got a whole lot of bad storms coming through right now where we live. And I might jump like 8 or 9 times because me and Lightning, we don't get along. Like me and Lightning are not friends at all. And so I'm not a big fan of storms. I'm like a dog that needs like one of them vests, you know, one of them protection vests. So I you know, Kendra was supposed to be with me today. I know it's Wifey Wednesday, but she's not here. And no, I'm not making this up. She's not here. She's got just way, y'all, we got too much stuff going on right now, especially with her, with real estate and getting the house ready and listing it and just a whole lot of stuff going on right now. And I saw Beautiful in the chat a minute ago. I know she wishes she could be here. And so that is honestly, that has really caused me to do a flip like really fast. And you know, I told you guys I was going to pre-record the part two, and I thought Kendra was going to be here for Wifey Wednesday, and then, you know, then we found out she wasn't, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to do part two, and I haven't researched anything. This is some stuff that I've written out yesterday as listening to Paul Harvey, researching certain scriptures. That's why I had to flip everything, because normally I'm looking at my camera here and my notes over there, but now my notes are here. So I have my outline and everything out in front of me. But for those of you who missed it a couple weeks ago, we did like a summary. Paul Harvey down here in the South was like, he wasn't just a voice. He was the voice. Like, if you grew up in the, you know, I grew up in the 80s and the 90s. I was born in 83, you know, mainly grew up in the 90s. You know, everybody has heard of Paul Harvey down here. Everybody. You listen to him with your grandparents going down the road or your parents or whatever. Everybody remembers that. Good day. Everybody remembers that. There's not a person around here that if you say the rest of the story, they're not going to know exactly who you're talking about. Well, I want to say this was in the 60s, if I remember correctly. Yeah, April the 3rd, this is my dad's birth year, 1965, Paul Harvey put out this radio hit, and he titled it, If I Were the Devil. And you know, I can only imagine like how this was received in the 60s. Like I can't even imagine how this would have been received by, you know, my grandfather, my grandmother, you know, my dad was, this happened April the 3rd. So he wasn't even born yet. He was born in April the 8th of 1965. So I can only imagine how this would have been received by that generation of people for a man to come out and say, if I were the devil, I would do this and I would do this and I would do that and I would trick this person and I would infiltrate this place here. And one thing that everybody could agree on in the 60s was the first part of his message is that I would go after the biggest, brightest, most beautiful apple on the tree, the United States. Of course, that's, I mean, you know, if you're going to punch, punch up. If you, I mean, if you're going to go for a target, go for the target, not just a target, go for the target. And whether, whatever status you think of the America is right now, you can't argue with the fact that the world looks at America. And they base their decisions off of what we do. We are, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but we, America is the equivalent of Alabama football. We have the biggest, largest targets on our back day in, day out, year in, year out. And trust me when I tell you, and if you can't see the decay of the current world that we're in, I can't help you here. But the devil's winning. He's absolutely winning. And why would he not go after this target that is America, that was founded on the law of Moses, that the majority of the Constitution recites more biblical scripture than any other book out there? So, yeah, why would you not go after America? And he has. And in 2025, he's doing a pretty good job. But before I get into this thing, all right, I do want to address something that it's been on my heart for a long time. Like, for a long time. You know, I say this all the time. I'm a poker. I like to poke. That's what I do. I poke, I aggravate, I enjoy it. I am a habitual line stepper. I just like to look at reactions of people. I do. That's one of my things. I like to do it. It's why I'm not a politician. And yes, Graham's right. That's why he doesn't take me anywhere where it's time to be professional. I'm not your guy. I'm not. I am who I am. I don't care if I'm talking to you on Rumble or if I'm sitting next to the President of the United States. One thing you can guarantee, I'm a B Todd, but I'm a poker. And this has been on my heart for a very long time. And I say this jokingly, but I also say it borderline serious. And I don't mean y'all. When I say y'all, I don't mean y'all. I'm sick of Christians. I'm sick of them. I'm so sick and tired of these limp-wristed, not bold, cowardice, not courageous, sticking your head in the dirt, making sure you sit on the bench. All right, when the spiritual battle is being fought every single day in our homes, in our churches, in our schools, you'd rather sit on the bench. I'm sick of you. I'm tired of you. I've had my fill of you. And yet, a lot of Christians will sit behind a computer screen like this, and this is why I do it, believe it or not. This is why I do it. And yell at the podcasting guy for doing hook 'em or, you know, doing, hey guys, good morning. And everybody used to give me so much crap. Don't do that, Todd. That's the devil horns. Are you worshiping the devil? Or when I'd wear my monster hat, which I did on purpose. It's like, we're so scared of the devil, like, and blame the devil for everything. Everything. That's the devil's fault.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
It's the devil's fault. The devil made this person do this. It's because of the devil that that man killed six people. It's because of the devil that that illegal, you know, raped that woman, murdered that woman. It's because of the devil. It's because of Satan. And we blame Satan for everything. But I got to say, hang on just a minute. Wait just a minute. What are you so afraid of? Why are you afraid of this devil? Why are you afraid of Satan? Does he scare you? How are you supposed to be a bold, brave, courageous Christian afraid of the created? How are you afraid of the created and not the creator? Because that's all he is. He's just the created. That's it. He has no power over you. If God can't will you to do something, how can the created? If the creator can't make you do something, how can the created? If the creator can't do it, then how can the created? But why be afraid of Satan? Why? Why? Why are you afraid of the created? Because see, that's where the disconnect happens. Todd, it's not Satan. I'm afraid of hell. Hell wasn't created for you. God didn't create hell for you. That was never his will. That was never his intention. God created hell for Satan and the other jackasses that run with him. He didn't create hell for you. That was never God's will, ever. He loves you too. You're the only, understand something. I'm talking to you. You are the only thing on this planet that he loved enough to create in his image. You were the only thing that he created to on this planet to have a personal, walking, talking, meaningful relationship with. The only thing. And he loved you so much, he created a place. But he also loves you so much that he gave you free will and he respects your decision. See, he didn't create hell for you and he doesn't send you there. He just respects your wishes. He loves you so much that if you don't want to be with him, he's not going to force you to. That's love. That is true love. And I get so fired up and I get so sick and freaking tired of all of these weak, weak, cowardice Christians. That's not biblical in any sense of the word. It's not biblical. God did not command you to be weak. You can even go back to the Old Testament and Joshua 1:9, when God said, this is my command. Be strong, be courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He didn't say, look, listen, here's an idea. All right. This is my opinion. This is what I think you should do. I think you should be brave. I think you should be strong. I think you should be courageous. No. He says, this is my command. This is a command. I command you to be strong. I command you to be courageous. I command you to not be afraid, not be anxious, not be discouraged. You know why? Because yes, I am the God of the mountain, but I'm also the God of the valley. I'm also the God of the valley. And I'm such a thug, and yeah, I said it, I'm such a thug that while I'm with you in the valley, and David wrote this himself, he said, I will set up a table for you in the presence of your enemies, right in front of them. I'll let you eat right in front of them. I'm going to let you cook while they watching, because yeah, I get down like that. I roll like that. But why does he do it? Why? You know, I get that all the time. Todd, I love that. I love that when you say he'll set up a table for you in the presence of your enemies. But why? It's not because he's just a thug and that's how he rolls. It's because when your enemy sees you win and they see you win big, they want to know why. Because, see, if he sets up the table in the alley, or if he sets up the table in your bedroom, or if he sets up the table in the confines of your own home where nobody can see the victory, what's the point? So just for those of you out there that you're struggling right now, that you feel like you can't go on, you feel like you're stuck in a rut, you feel like you're in this season of your life that's just beating you down, because that's what life will do. That's what life will do. It'll beat you to death. It'll kick you when you're down. I can't stand it. No, Alicia, today is not pre-recorded. Hi, I'm live. I'm not pre-recorded. Tomorrow will be, though. But some of you are in a horrible season in your life right now. And all I can tell you is this. The devil doesn't mess with you if he's already got you. It's that simple. It's really that simple. You look at every single major win of every single man in the Bible, of every hero in the Bible, every hero. Look at what led up to the victory. It was always a struggle. It was always a season of pain. It was always a season of anguish and aggravation and losses. It was always the valley before a big win, before a dub. And that's the season a lot of us are in right now. So be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, because God's going to be with you through everything. Wherever you go, whatever you do, and however you do it. So, all right, let's get into this thing, because I'm really excited about this. All right, so let's, Lord have mercy, stop the message. Okay, listen, I really quick, before I get going, I'm getting a lot of messages from people on Facebook, Instagram, and stuff like that, wanting me to be a part of this group, wanting me to be a part of this group and that group on Facebook and Instagram. And I, listen, I can't be in like 10 groups. So Discord. All right. If you're watching me right now, Facebook, Instagram, Rumble, X, wherever, I am on one group message thing, and that is the Mafia Discord. You want to chit chat with me and hang out when I have time to do it. I can't check 9 or 10 different messages, but I don't have time for that, guys. I don't. So Discord, Shock, if you're in it, if anybody's in it that has the link to the
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals, all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for 5 different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
Discord channel, just throw it in there. That's where I'll be. Okay. So, all right, let's backtrack here. All right. And I know this thing is silly because I'm having to look at something totally different now. All right. So let's play the first little part of the section that we're going to talk about today. This is Paul Harvey, If I Were the Devil.
If I were the devil. If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and 4/5 of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the...
And that is the part we're going to talk about today. All right, and we're just going to go, let me go to my notes real quick here. We're going to go line by line on this particular thing. And so just really quick, I still cannot, I've listened to that recording 50 times in the last 5 or 6 months. I still, the hair on the back of my neck still stands up when I hear it. Because you think this was recorded in 1965, and here we are. And here we are in 2025. So he says, if I was the Prince of Darkness. Guys, this is not just poetry. Okay, this is, I never met Paul Harvey. I never said two words to him. This is a borderline prophetic message that Paul Harvey was given in 1965, and it is literally day by day. And I know a lot of you, some of you are a lot older than me, and you can see this even bigger than I can because you've just been here. You've experienced more than I have. And I know some of you, like my father's age, are just like blown away by this because there's so much more that you've witnessed, that you've seen, that you've experienced. But even me at 42, I listen to this and I go, this is literally unveiling and unwrapping right before our eyes. And where is the church? Where is the church? But, all right, so I would engulf the world in darkness, okay? We're going to take it from John chapter 3, verse 19. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. I would engulf the war in darkness. Well, the only combatant to darkness is the light. And you're called to be the light. You're called to be the light of the world. And the real world application for this and the history that we've seen is look at what's on your television screens. And I'm not talking about Netflix. I'm not talking about streaming services, okay? Because streaming services, HBO Max, Netflix, things like that, they don't bleep anything out. They don't block anything out. I'm talking about the stuff that comes on cable, if you still have it. Okay, the stuff that comes on Channel 9 or Channel 4 or Channel 27 or 33, you know, those are the only channels we get around here with the little bunny ears on top of the TV. Hollywood has submitted, totally submitted to violence, to lust, to greed, which has always kind of been that way. It's getting more proficient now. But now, more so than ever, while they are glorifying these things of the darkness, they're also, in the same sentence, mocking virtue, mocking the light. You see it every day. The Democrats come out. The protesters come out for violence. They protest against safety and security. They protest for men playing in women's sports, for, you know, your child to be able to go through transition without even telling you. And the doctor doesn't have to tell you either. Hollywood normalizes sin. While righteousness is characterized and labeled as hate speech. I can't make it any clearer that if you've ever, and I should have got this clip. It's funny. It's horrible. The movie Little Nicky. Okay. When the demon possessed the preacher and he starts talking about how evil is good. You laugh, but it's what's happening. It's what's happening right in front of our eyes. And I've got, I mean, let's just look at Hollywood for a second. Okay. Look at the normalization. This is a trend now. So, I mean, you got Ben Affleck's daughter. Yep. That was her as a girl on the left. Now I don't know what the heck she is on the right. All right. You got this one. Jamie Lee Curtis uploaded a photo and said, "Nobody can tell which one of my daughters is a man." No, Jamie, we can. Well, absolutely. You can look at those three people right there and very easily determine which one is a man. And violence? Who remembers this nugget right here?
I'm angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
I'm sorry. And I'm really not trying to make any types of political statements in this show. I'm not. The only political statement that I'm trying to tell you here is you can't profess God in one mouth in one on one day and vote Democrat the next. It can't be done. All right. And a lot of people, I get yelled at for saying that all the time. I'm going to continue to say it. Not because of the Madonna clip, no, but they're Democrats. They are evil. They are the party of sin. They are the party of no excuse, no consequences. They are the party of do whatever makes you feel good. And I get a lot of pushback, and I'm going off the reservation here, but let me trust me when I tell you, these words ain't mine. When Christians look at me and tell me, how can you be a Christian and be involved in politics? Christians can't be politics. Christians can't be political. What? I mean, I know we're not supposed to do this as Christians, but the next time a Christian tells you, you can't be political and be a Christian, or that politics is not in the Bible, call them an idiot. All right. Because, I'm sorry. What was Saul? What was David? What was Solomon? They were kings. What's a king, if not political? Every single major player in the Bible was involved in politics. Joseph advised the Pharaoh. Political. It's all political. Don't tell me you can't be, you know, Christian in politics, or that you can't do it. Well, no, you're wrong. 1,000,000,000,000,000% wrong. Sorry, got a tangent there. Got into an argument about that this afternoon. Number two, I would subvert the churches first. It's a good idea. If it can be done. We see it every day. We show them as CLC clips. We show them to make fun of liberals. But what is it other than subverting the church? And the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, Timothy, the author even writes here, "For a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine." There will come a time where people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers and preachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Go read the book of 2 Timothy. There's a whole lot of eye-opening scripture there. I'm going to read that again. Subverting the church. And I want y'all to seriously think about the year 2025 and the clips we've shown on Dear America, the clips you've seen from Chad, the clips you've seen from me. For a time will come when people will no longer put up with sound doctrine. That means doctrine, sound biblical theology, sound scripture. There will come a time when people will not put up with that anymore, but instead, to suit their own desires, they will surround themselves with a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. How many times have we seen this? You've got a priest or a preacher standing behind a LGBT LMNOP flag. You've got preachers talking how you can't be a Christian and be for mass deportations. You literally, and this is the most aggravating video. Because this guy is a pastor, and I've shown a couple of his clips a few times. But this aggravates me the most.
So it just, I get suspicious when anybody, whether it's a televangelist or a politician, tells me that something is central to my faith when Jesus never talks about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
To me, that should, I think, ring alarm bells as to what is the agenda here. What is someone trying to get across? And I think if we're looking at the last 40, 50 years, the religious right has made a concerted effort to make homosexuality and abortion the two biggest issues for Christians. And, you know, the Southern Baptist Convention was pro-choice until the late 1970s. So this idea that to be a Christian means you have to be anti-gay and anti-abortion, there really is no historical, theological, biblical basis for that opinion.
Well,
see, this is where I get myself into a lot of trouble. And I had to pray before the show because I knew this clip was coming. And I've told you guys before, you know, the Bible talks about Paul having a thorn in his flesh. And a lot of people think that, you know, the thorn, and he prayed and prayed and prayed for God to remove the thorn and God wouldn't do it. And a lot of people say that, you know, hey, the thorn was, you know, he was crippled or he was in prison or he was blind. I don't think that's it. I think Paul had a thorn in his flesh because he was stoned. He died. He ascended to heaven and God sent him back and that pissed him off. I mean, who wouldn't be pissed by that? So now can't come here. You're not back yet. You're not done yet. You need to go back. I have a thorn too, and it's for false doctrine, false teaching, and men that stand behind pulpits, and preach false gospels like this guy. There is a special place reserved in hell for men like this. And I know I'm trying not to be judgy. I'm really trying not to cuss right now because it is doctrine and teachings and things like this that destroy our children. Because kids will go look for this stuff, or kids won't go look for this stuff, that your typical person will hear this and take it as the gospel because it's on Joe Rogan's show. And Joe Rogan is one of the top podcasters in the world. I'm not badgering Joe Rogan over this, okay? But your typical human will not hear something this ignorant, this unbiblical, and go do the research for themselves and go, wait a minute. That's not right. That's not right at all. And he goes on, and me and Kendra talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago. He goes on to say that God actually asked for Mary's consent to have Jesus. No, he didn't. God didn't. Never once did the angel say, "Do you mind? Can we? Can the Lord?" No, not once. Not once. And to make it even more theologically inaccurate, God knows everything. Everything. Before, during, and after. Okay? Future, past, and present. He knows it all. Do you really think he's going to ask somebody that he thinks, that he knows he would have to answer questions to? No, he went to a good and faithful servant and said, "This is going to happen. You have been chosen. Praise the Lord." Come on now. But it's this type of stuff that Paul Harvey was talking about when he says, "I will subvert the church's first. And it's the author of 2 Timothy who foresaw this coming, that there will come a time when people don't want to hear the law, where people don't want to hear theology, where people don't want to hear accurate biblical interpretation, that instead they'll take the text and they'll warp it to make it fit their narrative, to make it fit their sin. And that's not how this works. That's not how it ever intended to work. But here we are. How many church signs have we seen in the past? LGBT.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for 5 different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
T this, LGBT that. It's Pride Month. Happy Pride Month. Yada, yada, yada. And, you know, the biggest argument that I always hear from the left on the immigration is the scripture that treat people in your foreign land because you were once immigrants in Egypt. You were once foreigners in Egypt. Okay. All right. Well, let's take some scripture from the same book. From the same book. All right. Same book. Found a cool little picture on this. Because in Deuteronomy, it also says this. Foreigners who live in your land will gain more and more power while you gradually lose yours. They will have money to lend you, but you will have none to lend them. In the end, they will be your rulers. So, yeah, there you go. Deuteronomy 28:43. So anybody throws the you were once foreigners in Egypt? Yeah, okay. Okay. What the Bible says is do not treat them with actually it says do not molest them. Okay? Doesn't say don't kick them out. Nowhere. Nowhere does it say that. Nowhere. Mm. Number 3. I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. I will create a campaign of whispers. And you can see this in the book of Genesis early on. And this is how I've told you guys, this is how the devil has always worked. All right. He doesn't come at you bold and brave. No. All right. He didn't come to eat. I mean, the original sin, the fall of humanity, a serpent just whispered to Eve. That's not true. No, it's if you eat the apple, God knows that you'll become like him. You will not die. You will just become like him, knowing everything, knowing good from evil. That's not true. In a gentle, kind whisper. And he created the original sin. He was the reasoning and the means and the method behind the fall of humanity. And that's how he continues to work in our lives if you allow it. He doesn't come at you with, hey, I want you to take this knife and stick it in that dude's chest. Or, hey, I want you to take this crack rock and I want you to put it in this pipe and I want you to smoke it. Now, he doesn't just come at you hard like that. No, 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 no. He comes at you one little dropper at a time, one little cracker crumb here, one crumb there, one crumb. Ah, that's not so bad. That's not so bad. God didn't punish you for that. God didn't, you know, there's no consequence. You're okay. You're fine. Okay. It's okay. We'll try again next week. Same time, same place. We'll do the same thing. All that stuff you're looking at, that's fine. Nobody's around. Or that person you're talking to, nobody can catch you. Or that person you're meeting behind closed doors, nobody else is there. Until eventually you've drank the whole bottle of poison and you're at a point of no return. And as scripture says, you reap what you sow. But the part they don't explain is the harvest is always 10 times bigger than the seed. But you can also... you know, the whole the real world application here is we have an obsession. We have an upset, and I'm sick and tired of hearing that's my truth. That's my truth. No, no, no. There's not my truth. There's not your truth, my truth, her truth, their truth, his truth, its truth. There's only the truth. Matter of fact, there's only the way, the truth, and the life. That's it. There's only the truth. And the truth is only one thing, not multiple. There is not your truth and my truth. There's only the truth. It's a lot of truths. But, I mean, think about it. Like, even our children are raised on Disney slogans like, follow your heart. Follow your heart. No. No. Don't follow your heart. Because in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, the weeping prophet Jeremiah writes that the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is extremely deceitful. Okay? And it's beyond cure. And who can understand it? So why would you follow that? No, you follow the Holy Spirit. You follow the Scripture to the best that you can. Now, does that mean that you're always going to be a do-gooder and do right things and produce fruit and be great, grand, and righteous? No, you're never going to be righteous. All right? Now, even the Bible says that. There's not a righteous one. Not a one. Not a one. But get off of this obsession. This obsession with my truth and their truth. No, there's only the truth. Number four, and for me, and this might be my military background, I don't know, and just my military strategic thing, this is my biggest one. When he says, I would convince the young. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is just a myth, that it's all just stories, you know, bedtime stories that parents tell you to scare you to do right and act right and be right and things of that nature. This is the most important one for me personally, because the quickest way, it's like I told you guys, the fastest way to ruin the military is start at training post. Start at basic training. Start at the academies where you get them fresh. You get them like babies. You get them like kids. And if you teach those the wrong way to do it, eventually you're going to infect everybody. It's the same principle. And our kids are lost, y'all. They are lost. They are gone. And this is why it's so big to me. And ladies, I'm not trying to be mean here. Where are you at? Like, where are you? Do you not like, and I mean the fathers, where are the fathers? Where are the real men, the bold, brave? I want to be like my dad when I grow up. Where are you? Because I would like to think that I am the men, one of the men that me and Graham talk about that's missing, that is becoming an endangered species that's borderline extinct, and that the greatest thing for me as a parent was watching my kids do everything that I did just because daddy did it. I reveled in that. I loved that. Even the bad things, when I would slip up and say a cuss word, 5 minutes later, guaranteed, you're going to hear it from a bedroom. Because that's all they're doing, these kids. They're just downloading information. And they're going to get it from somewhere. And if they're not getting it from you at home, then they're going to get it from the television screen. They're going to get it from the ticky-tocky. They're going to get it from these people who, like this guy on Joe Rogan, that say, God, Jesus never talked about homosexuality and abortion. He never talked about transgender and abortion. They never talked about those things. They are constantly downloading information. And the devil, he's many things, but dumb is not one of them. And he fully understands that if he can get to your children and if he can get to the youth of America, then he can destroy us from the inside. How many times have we been called, oh, you're a Christian nationalist? Yeah, I am. 100%. But you can go back to the scripture reference of here. So you can go to Psalm 119. And he says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? Well, by living according to your word. And of course, you've got others. Raise a child up in the ways of the Lord so that when they get old, they'll never part from it. I mean, you got a lot of real scriptural reference and application to apply to your children. But this started years ago. I mean, you've got schools that are not teaching genetics. You know, what's a boy? What's a girl? They're teaching evolution. I'm sorry. What? No. I ain't never been no monkey. Ever. Ever. I ain't never been no single cell amoeba. No. Sorry. Never happened. They teach evolution. They deny creationism, mock prayer, remove the Ten Commandments. They rewrite history to erase America's biblical foundation. You know, you've got these TikTok atheists and progressive influencers that are shaping your kids 8 hours a day. Have you checked your screen time for your children lately? For your kids, your teenagers? Have you checked it lately? Because somebody's influencing your kids, and if it ain't you, they're getting it somewhere. But I am glad that we still have governors, that we still have states that somewhat try their best to do the right thing. And this is where it all started. The second that they took prayer out of schools, our kids were doomed. They were doomed. But I do thank God for people like Greg Abbott in Texas. And he says, as kids head back to school, Texas parents can have confidence that their values are protected. By allowing prayer and incorporating the Ten Commandments in classroom, religious freedom is secure in the state of Texas. And y'all, I absolutely love this. There is a Texas principal that literally prays over his entire school before the first day. I love This principal just walks down every single hallway. He prays over every classroom. He prays for safety, for protection. And I'm here to tell you, he may be a principal of 1,000 students, and 850 of them may not know God, may not know the name of Jesus. But I'm telling you right now, God is in that school. Because of that man right there is bold, is courageous, and he is executing the will of God in his life and his profession as a principal. I love this. May their season of lack end. I mean, this is just an amazing clip. Every classroom, he prays. I pray against attitudes, disciplinary issues. And this is for the people on audio who can't hear this. But he just goes room to room, praying for every single room, every room in the school. And I love that. I absolutely love that, because, God, we are missing men like that in our world right now. Man, we are missing men like that. And Paul Harvey goes on. He says, to the old I would teach them to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And in Exodus chapter 20, God's very clear. You shall have no other gods before me. And it took me a long time to figure this one out. But this is the best that I could come up with, and I think is prevalent. Teaching the old, and I would teach people of America to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And people are like, well, Todd, I don't really see that. You don't? You don't see it? What about government dependency programs? I'm just asking. All right, welfare, EBT, food stamps, Medicare, Medicaid. And if you're on any of this stuff, I'm not talking about you. But we see these people every day. You can scroll Twitter for 30 seconds. Matter of fact, I played a video yesterday. I posted one on my Instagram where people just, they don't go to work. They don't get up. They don't go to work. They get their EBT money, they get their Medicare, Medicaid, their government assistance, and they go off and go on. And so they're dependent on government instead of dependent on God. The leaders of our nation have replaced dependency on God with dependency of the U.S. government. people have literally turned politicians and turned to politicians, bureaucrats, government programs, instead of turning to the Creator. I mean, the Bible talks about it. A man doesn't work, doesn't eat. I mean, it's that simple. But you have people that are literally not focused on God at all, not dependent on God. So the whole pray after me, our Father, which are out in Washington, that hit me like a ton of bricks this afternoon. I was like, that makes so much sense. I'd educate authors. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies. I'd corrupt entertainment and literature. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. And here's your real world application. Streaming platforms normalize pornography. Books in schools glorify gender confusion and occultism while Bibles are banned from the classroom. They've taken everything that is right and righteous away from society and replaced it with pornographic stuff, horrible language, violence, murder, rape, all kind of things. Our television programs have gotten horrific at this point. Like that little show that had the little kids dancing, I mean little girls dancing on Netflix, they should burn the whole building down for producing that. The whole building. Like the Beekeeper did. If you haven't seen that Jason Statham movie, I want that job, by the way. Number seven, got to speed up. I'm running out of time here. I'd peddle narcotics. I'd sell alcohol. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills, addiction, and numbness. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
And the real world applications is stuff we've talked about in nauseam. First, you had the crack epidemic in the 90s. Now you have fentanyl coming across. Our kids are addicted to God knows what now. Hey, there's drugs out there. Like Shock was talking about tranquilizers, stuff I've never even heard of at this point. And I'm guilty of this too, and I'm going to hurt a lot of people when I say this. But when's the last time you put your medication down and put your hands together? I'm just asking. We've become too dependent on our own knowledge. We've become too dependent on our own. Now I understand there's a time and a place. Okay, all right. I don't buy into the I'm not going to the doctor because God will heal me. Can God do it? 100%. But there's also a reason why God created men with intelligence, women with intelligence to go into the medical professional. So don't be an idiot. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. But I ran into this myself with anxiety, depression, and rage. And I was taking 5, 6, 7 different medications. And at some point, I stopped and I was like, wait a minute, what am I doing? Because the truth of the matter is, and this is something that we all need to look into a mirror and ask ourselves, God wants to be involved in everything. Okay, everything, not just your major decision, not just, hey, look, Lord, I'm moving. I want to involve you because this is big. This is a big deal. Or Lord, I need to pray because I'm thinking about marrying this person. I want to pray for that. Yes, of course. But, and it's funny how Tripp literally taught me this not 2 weeks ago because I had to check myself. because when he said it, he said, yeah, I was lifting weights the other day and I wanted to get one more. And I said, Lord, please help me just get this one more rep. And I'm sitting there going, that's adorable. What a cute kid. And then like the Lord kind of slapped me. He's like, wait a minute, dude. You got a young man sitting across from you that is inviting me into every aspect of his life, even the things that you don't think matter, even the things that really don't matter. He's inviting me into everything in his life. And I go back into a time to where I was taking 5-6 medications a day. And I had to stop and say, I've never asked God not once to take this from me or to help me deal with this. Never, not once. And me and Kendra had, and I'm going to be, and I didn't even mean to do this. Lord, why you do me like this? Lord, why you do me like this? I'm going to be just a little transparent and a little vulnerable for you for a minute. Some things happened years ago where I literally thought that I witnessed this, I was a part of this, and it was so bad, I don't deserve to forget it. I deserve the nightmares. I deserve the bad dreams. I deserve it. I deserve it. And I don't want to pray for it. I don't want to go to therapy over it. I don't, because I don't want to forget this, because this happened. And I want to always remember it. And then I went to a friend of mine who is a licensed psychiatrist, and she changed everything for me. Everything. And she said, Todd, David and Bathsheba, John the Baptist doubted. I mean, there's so many men in the Bible that did so many horrific things. Did they deserve to be forgiven? Did they deserve it? And I was like, well, yeah, of course. He goes, why don't you? Why don't you? And that changed me forever. Forever. But you've got the fentanyl crisis killing thousands of people. Alcohol abuse is being glamorized on every commercial, every television. Big pharma's profiting off an entire nation by numbing the population with antidepressants, anxiety meds, instead of going and actually addressing the issue, which is spiritual brokenness. You know, it blows my mind. I used to ask this question to my pastor all the time. I'm like, I don't get it. You got all these Hollywood people, all these people in Hollywood, you know, drug overdoses, alcohol abuse, they're killing themselves. I said, what do they have to be depressed about? They're gazillionaires and they are loved by millions of people all over the world. What do they have to be depressed about? What do they have to be angry about to the point that they want to kill themselves or that they want to drink themselves into a coma? I don't get it. And my pastor looked at me and he says, that's because you have the one thing that they don't have. Because I believe this more now at 42 than I ever have in my life. When God formed man in his image and he looked at him, he breathed life into him. God created you with a hole in your spirit. And you can try to fill that hole with whatever you want. You can try to fill it with sex. You can try to fill it with drugs. You can try to fill it with fame, fortune, money, cars, houses, whatever you want. But that hole is a bottomless pit. That hole was intended for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is the dwelling of the one that created you. And my pastor said, that's why they go crazy. Because they've been trying their entire lives to fill that hole with money, fame, love, fortunes, everything. But it never gets filled. And they have everything that a person wants, but not the one thing that every human needs. And that is a loving, walking, talking relationship with the one that created them, the one that was nailed to the cross, the one that died and rose 3 days later. And so it makes perfect sense why people turn to anxiety meds to numb the pain. Makes perfect sense. And so that's the end of part two. We'll get to part three, which is closing everything out. But I just want to remind you guys, okay? In Ephesians 6:12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of the darkness of this world." Resist the darkness by standing on the word. Be brave. Be bold. Let Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 be your warrior call for the next week, the next month, the next year. Let the book of Joshua reign out and be your warrior war cry, that this is my command: to be strong, to be courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Resist the darkness by standing in the word of God, by living in the light, and refusing to bow down to culture or the flesh. It's very easy to do. But that's it for part two. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Let's jump into do we have any questions today? Let's see. Alicia Victoria. A few weeks ago, a lady at church told me, like my fiance, should not be allowed at church and we are damned. I saw an instant red lady pick the wrong day with me. My mom had to physically remove me. A pastor approached me at a church in the park Sunday. He asked me to apologize, but I can't even look at the lady without getting angry. Thoughts? Alicia, I guess my question is, I can't really respond to that because why? Like, why should you not be allowed at church? Why were you damned? I understand seeing red because I do when people do false doctrine and teach false things. I see red and I say whatever comes to my mind. No filter. But I'll wait for you to comment. But why? Why do they do that? Oh, hold up. Sorry, nothing to do with what's going on with him. She simply said it because he's military and I was involved with ICE. Yeah. Honestly, listen. I understand. I understand for a lot of people that church hurt is a real thing. I get it. I get it. And it is. Church hurt is a real thing. But I need you to understand something, okay? Man will fail you always. 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 God will never fail you. Ever. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be with you. Until the end. I think a lot of people, and I got to choose my words carefully here because I'm piss a few of you off by saying this, but I think a lot of people refuse to go to church because of church hurt. And what I see in that instance is at that point, you are committed and too focused on man and not God. And I don't want to your bubble, but man will hurt you over and over and over again. And if the devil can use one phrase, one instance, one Sunday in a building to cause you to never enter God's house again, that's an easy win. Because man is flawed on a massive level. Stop putting so much faith and putting so much effort into man. And I know that's hard. That's difficult because the pain is real. But just saying, if you're looking for a perfect church, it doesn't exist. I promise you. Even the one I stream, it's not perfect. It's good. It's great. I love it. But there are some things that I'm like, but it's all biblical, structured, legit, real doctrine that I've never not once heard a word that I didn't agree with the exception of like one guy, but I haven't heard him talk since. Trent, I'm 47, my 47 years. I've watched TV shows show much more extreme nudity year after year. Most murder scenes and even graphic scenes with children being killed. They use TV to push agendas and propaganda. True statement. Todd, Jesus did not die to forgive everyone except you and me. Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. But listen, I love you guys. You know, this has been great. I honestly, there's a part of me that wish I was a little bit more prepared, but hey, you know, we filled the hour and, hopefully somebody out there got a good message. Listen, before I get out of here, I literally, guys, I just want to remind you that if there is somebody out there, if there is one of you out there that you feel separated from God, then let me just close this for a second. Let me get this out the way. Because I want to lean into you for just a second. If there's one of you out there, somebody that watches this later, and you've come to the end of this show and you're like, man, I don't know about this guy, but you just don't feel close to God anymore. There's nothing magical. All right, there's nothing that you can do to earn the love of God. Understand something. He loved you when you were formed in the womb. He knew you already, and he already loved you even after knowing the person that you were going to become. And through all of your faults, all of your mistakes, thank God, because there was a time in my life where, woo, I wouldn't have loved me at all, in any bit. But it's not magical. It's nothing hard. It's nothing difficult. It's nothing that you earn. It's not, you don't pay money. You don't sing a song. You don't, you know, go to this place at this time and walk down an aisle and kneel before an altar or raise your hand or what. There's nothing magical about it. It's really simple. The book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9. Says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There is no before that. There is no after that. It is only just that. There is, listen, baptism is an obedience to God. It's a good thing to do, but it's not required. Choir attendance is not required. None of that is required. Are they good? Yes. Are they traditions? Yes. Tradition will not get you to heaven. It will not. Your parents will not get you to heaven. You as parents will not get your kids to heaven. No. It's not earned. It was freely given. And all you got to do is just confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. It's that simple. It's really nothing woo-loo-loo about it. I love you guys and I'm going to get out of here. No ads today. I didn't feel like doing any because this was important. Tomorrow's episode will definitely be pre-recorded. Cause our flight leaves, I think at 2:00. So maybe I can get Kendra to come in here at some time tonight and just kind of do the episode with me. That way you will have your wifey Wednesday tomorrow. But anyway, I'm going to get out of here. I love you guys. Listen, I pray for every single one of you all the time. I really, really hope that this has helped somebody. One person. That's all I need. One person. But I'll see you guys tomorrow, dear America, bright and early. 9 a.m. Central, God's time. Love you, miss you, mean it. And just listen, remember, God loves you with all of his heart. He created you perfect in his will. And he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And even when you can't feel him, he's still there. Take care, everybody.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.